Good evening, Chair.
Good evening, Mandy.
Chair, we are short of one member to start the meeting, but we are trying to get hold of the members. Members are just running a little bit late.
Okay. All right. You will advise me.
Yes, Chair. We are four. There are four members present now. Thank you.
Okay.
Recording in progress.
And interrogated on the phone, and then later bribed for their silence. He accuses Ramaphosa of concealing the crime from both the police and SARS. Well, today the presidency has responded, saying Fraser has no basis for his claim. The president, of course, agrees. Cries Butler on the phone, which himself.
Hey, Mindy.
Chair, we are sufficient members are present now. You are more than welcome to start meeting whenever you are ready.
And he's out of the country.
Okay, we are. How many are we?
Four members, Jay, to form a quorum.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Who is the fourth member?
It's Dr. Themba Kwayo, who joined us just a few moments ago, Ms. Nkomo, Ms. Plomelang, and then you.
Okay. Thanks. Good evening.
Good evening, Chair.
Hey, Chair. How are you, honorable members? I know you are very tired.
We are tired. Our tired.
We are fine. Tired. Thank you, madam. Oh, Jesus. With load shedding this side, yo. Good evening. Let's start with our meeting. The proposed agenda is there. It's opening and welcome, then apologies. The third one is the adoption of the agenda, then the introduction of all delegates, and then number five is the presentation of the MPWC action plan on gender-based violence and femicide. Mandy, number six. The discussion on possible areas, communities, and site for 16 to 19 August 2022 Eastern Cape Province oversight visit. And then number seven, summary of the outcomes and way forward. Then the closing remarks and the adjournment of the meeting. This is the agenda that we are going to use this evening. Honorable members, you are all welcome. I don't want to waste any time, but to go straight to get an apologies if there are any from the secretary of the committee.
Yes, Chair, we received two apologies from Ms. Semenya who is on oversight at the moment, public hearings, Ms. Sharif, who's attending to constituency work, but Mahlengwa is running a little bit late. She will join us in a few minutes.
Thank you very much. You've got only three apologies. Honorable members, we've got three apologies.
I move for the adoption, Chair. Yeah?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Nkomo. Any seconder for the move?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Doc. We're proceeding. Item number four is introduction of all delegates. This item is there because we want to know exactly who is in this meeting and also to know each other. Honorable members, today we're going to start by introducing ourselves. When introducing yourself, can you please open your video for a short while for everyone to see the person who will be interacting with you? Thank you very much. I'm going to start. My name is Kensani Kate Bilankulu Makabane. I'm the chairperson of Multiparty Women Caucus. And good evening to everyone. Thank you very much. Honorable members, let's introduce ourselves.
Let me also follow, Chair. My name is Honorable Zanele Nkomo, a member of the National Assembly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was kicked out now because of load shedding. And I'm just afraid if I just put the video, then you lose me for the rest of that thing. Can you please allow me just to introduce myself without putting on the video? I'm Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, and I'm the member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doug. Just to privilege those that they don't know you, the person you see in that photo is the one who was was introducing herself. Thank you very much. The last one. Ma Tomeleng. We're passing. Can I get indication from the members of the Eastern Cape Legislature?
Good evening, all members.
Good evening.
Myself. My name is Bukiwe Fanta, the chairperson of the Women's Caucus Multiparty in the Eastern Cape. This is my face.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, chairperson.
Thank you.
Are you there with other honorable members? Or are you alone?
At the moment, Chairperson, I see only myself, but we're supposed to be here, the majority of us.
Oh, for now, it's you only.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mandy, I don't know whether there is other members maybe from the department.
Yes, Chair, from social
or any institution.
We have social development, justice, and SALGA.
Justice and SALGA. Okay. From DSD, who do we have?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Isabella Sekawana. I'm from the Department of Social Development. Thank you.
Thank you, Isabella.
Good evening, Chairperson. I'm Jessica Longwe from the Ministry of Social Development, the facilitating person for the Women's Caucus, Multi-Party Women's Caucus. Thank you, evening, Chairperson, members, and colleagues.
Evening, Jessica, and thank you. Is there anyone from the department, or you're only two?
Yes, good evening, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Cesar Mahangwe from the Department of Social Development.
Thank you so much. Are you done, DSD?
Good evening, Chairperson.
Good evening. I can't hear any word. Hello.
Good evening.
Evening.
I'm Prudence Ramule from the Department of Social Development in the Free State. I'm technology, so you won't be able to see me for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
From Eastern Cape, Chair, we have MEC Makonda Makosas and Met. They have just joined us.
Okay. MEC.
Sorry, Chairperson, am I audible?
You're not audible.
Okay, let me change the cartridge. Okay.
We can go to justice, then we'll come back to the MEC.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is Advocate Praise Kambula from the Department of Justice. And I would also like, Chairperson, just to send the apology from my minister who's got a prior engagement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, my sister. Are you alone?
Yes, I am, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. SALGA?
Chair, unfortunately, SALGA is running, delegates are running late, representatives are running late, but we made a follow-up now and they will join in the next few minutes.
Thank you very much for that update, Mandy. Is the MEC ready now from the Eastern Cape?
Yes, I'm here.
I think you're having a problem with the network, that site.
Good evening, leadership. SALGA is here. I just was struggling to open the mic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. But we wanted to be privileged about your name.
Oh, my name is Councillor Flora Mabua Boltman, who's the Deputy President of SALGA, but also the Commissioner for SALGA Women's Commission.
Thank you very much.
I'm just in the car from the prayer session. Apologies, I just locked in though.
As long as you prayed for us,
Amen. That I'll definitely do.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, we can proceed. If there are members.
Sorry, Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah.
If I may, my name is Sipokazi Ndudane. I'm from the Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform in the Eastern Cape. And my MEC, Honorable Peters, is finishing another meeting and she will be joining soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sipokazi. Is there any other?
Honorable Chair, am I audible now? MEC
Yes, you are.
I'm sorry, Chair, I had to connect with the phone. My iPad is failing me. Good evening to you, all to all the and to all the leaders in the meeting and my chairperson from the Eastern Cape and all officials. I am Noma Khosazana Meth. I'm the MEC for Health in the Eastern Cape Province. Thank you, Chair.
For health. Thank you so much. MEC?
Evening. Evening.
Good evening.
Sorry, ma'am. May I just pass my apology, Mr. Mapalala from the Department of Social Work Development from Free State will join us a little bit later. He's still on his road home.
Oh, from no, the I'm Free
State. Oh, you're already there. Prudence. Thank you. Okay, thank you then, sir. Okay, thank you, sir.
Mr. Ramule, you are welcome.
Sorry, Chair, I cannot take my hand. I want to apologize for Minister Zulu, who is not able to appear today due to other commitments. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable members, can we now continue with our program? Mandy, can you flag the agenda there? Thank you. We are now at item number 5, that the presentation of the MPWC Action Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. I'll ask Tembakazi to brief us.
Honors and everyone with a talk. The president, I'm knocking on my own.
Can you change your position? Maybe you'll be able to hear you clearly. You still have a problem.
Now
I can hear you. You can proceed.
Good evening, honorable members and everyone who is part of this session. My name is Tembakazi Mpaphela. I am an advisor for the national. I am going to present on the gender-based and femicide action plan as adopted by the National Multi-Party Women's Caucus Pools Caucus last week. Mandy, have you presentation yet?
Yes, is there?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Presentation, but let's just brief and take the members through the GBE, the action plan. The network is not stable, so I'm afraid I might be cut off at some point. But what I would like to say is that this GF action plan is a result of a decision by the Multi-Party Women's Caucus to identify gender-based violence and femicide as one of the key priority focus areas. This decision by the Multi-Party Women's Caucus has led the Multi-Party Women's Caucus, the national one, to interact with various stakeholders on implementation of pillars of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide. And the National Multi-Party Women's Caucus is expected to report quarterly on work done in relation to gender-based violence and femicide as per the Parliament Oversight Framework on the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence. In addition to identifying gender-based violence and femicide as a key focus areas, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus has recognized the importance of building and establishing relations with stakeholders with a purpose of learning from each other, and as such has expressed a need to also be a social activism-based structure that impacts positively on all women at all levels. The recent ascent of the GBVF laws has further strengthened that resolve to embark on initiatives aimed at empowering communities about these laws. I'm going to move on to the part that's the action plan focus area. The aim of this action plan is to partner with provincial legislatures and in community about gender-based violence and femicide legislation, as well as conducting oversight over GBF-related matters. And as such, this action plan has two focus areas, with focus area number one. Communist laws, national, and it became important for this Multi-Party Women's Caucus to ensure that there are engagements that are done before conducting provincial visits, and this was with the aim of being fully prepared, as well as partnering with key stakeholders that come from various provinces. And as a result, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus has already engaged with the Department of Justice and Correctional Services to ascertain their readiness to implement the recently ascended GBVF laws. And it was on that basis that we have this session for today. It's to acknowledge that the provincial legislatures and municipal council women's caucus are the stakeholders that are better informed about the levels of incidence of gender-based violence in various provinces. And as such, the aim of today is to request the provincial and women's and municipal councils women's caucus to take lead on identification of communities and as well as stakeholders for the planning, because they are the people who are better placed to know who the communities to target as well as the stakeholders. For the Multi-Party Women's Caucus, stakeholders include government departments, civil society organizations, including men's formation, organization for persons with disabilities, LGBTQIA+ communities, tertiary institutions, traditional leaders, religious bodies, and any other available relevant stakeholder in selected areas. Also, the aim of today's session to persuade the provincial legislatures and municipal councils, men caucuses, to assist in planning and implementation of this GBVF action plan. And the part of the GBVF action plan timeframes. It says engagement, purpose of session, and proposed timeframe. The Women's Caucus has already engaged with the Department of Justice and Correctional Services sometime last week. And today's session is on is with the multiple women's caucuses from provincial and local government. And the aim of this session is to persuade the provincial legislatures as well as local government women's caucuses to assist in identifying communities and relevant stakeholder initiatives. Number two is to persuade them to identify suitable dates for provincial visits. I'm talking about for Eastern Cape for now. Another aim is to collaborate and partner during implementation of planned outreach and oversight activities. There is a sentence in brackets that says these multiple women's caucus, that is from provincial and local government, can also influence areas of oversight as the provincial priorities, as I have mentioned above, because they are the people, they are the stakeholders who better know their provinces and their communities. For Eastern Cape, as I've mentioned previously, the GBVF action plan is too focused. One is about conducting empowerment sessions, and the second part is about conducting oversight. And the planned proposed date is between July and September 22. To conduct oversight, it will be done on SAPS, availability of ray kits, taking of buccal samples, DNBA backlogs. For Department of Social Development, it will be on victim shelters. For Department of Justice, it will be on sexual offenses, court, domestic violence, and maintenance-related issues. National Prosecuting Authority to the Elder Care Centers. It's the same in all provinces, but as I have mentioned above, that provincial and municipal councils can influence the oversight areas as per the provincial priorities. So it's the same in all provinces. And in conclusion, Chair, the idea is that after each and every visit, all the women's caucuses, that is from the national, provincial, and municipal councils, will have to meet again to deliberate on issues that came to the fore in order to identify programs to advocate for, in order to ensure that these visits bring practical solution and positive and lasting impact on communities. That is all, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tembikazi. Honorable members, I think we all heard what Tembikazi was presenting to us. As we planned to meet with the Eastern Cape, I'm happy I heard that there are other members from other provinces. And I think it's going to assist that from the Eastern Cape, when we go to their province, they will be knowing what is expected from them. And also they can help them to plan better. Since here we are starting today with the Eastern Cape. Thank you very much for the presentation, Tembikazi. Chairperson of the Eastern Cape and your team.
Madam.
Can we engage the presentation? If there's something that we need to understand or if there's something that we think it needs to be filtered in the presentation that has been presented now in order to achieve what we are planning to achieve as the multi-party women caucus thereof. It's your time.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good evening to all the honorable members present. In appreciating the invitation and appreciating the presentation for Eastern Cape, fortunately, the plan that is in place is the plan that we're already working with ever since we this sixth term we've started. It is a coincidence, even now because next week we have a public participation week as Women's Caucus. We are visiting all our district for teams that are going and exactly what is in this presentation. That is what we are going to do in all our districts. For me, I think I am covered, but what due to the high levels of gender-based violence in my province, unfortunately, we are in the news every day. We are emphasizing the issue of men. As we notice that it's young, medium, old that are perpetrating the violence. We are thinking of adopting a men's program. Because for me, we have been doing this awareness raising as women, marching, going to court, doing everything, but we are preaching to the converted. The perpetrators are men. I want us to think about men this time. But what the plan is covering, that is what we have been doing. And we are happy finally that we are going to work with the Women's Caucus National Assembly. We've been longing to see that happening. And now that we are welcoming your invitation in August, fortunately, again in August, we have another public participation week that we're going to have. And that week is the one that will humble request that when you visit us, you target that week.
Are you done, Chair?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Other members from the legislature that want to add something, because we want to understand also even the places that you are to identify when coming that side for oversight will be visiting.
Okay, thank you.
Talking about the men's formation. If you have men's formation on your side in the Eastern Cape, you invite them.
Okay.
Yes.
For us, where there is high levels of gender-based violence, it's almost all districts, but there are peculiar districts, which is Alfrenzo, O.R. Tambo, Nelson Mandela, and Amatol. The worst one is O.R. Tambo and Alfrenzo, Imatatiela, and Zimvubu in particular. And Lusiki Siki, that is a national point here, that one, Lusiki Siki. It is on top even nationally. So would love that we target those districts. The four districts that I'm mentioning, I think they are on the GPVs on the.
For record purposes, you said the district is Alfrenzo.
Yes.
Or Tambo.
Tambo.
The Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela and Amatol.
And Amatol. Okay.
Yes. But if we got big teams, if we got enough teams, we could visit all the districts, because not even these ones that I'm not mentioning. Now, so they've got disabled, but these ones are on top.
So Lusiki Siki is also a district.
Lusiki Siki is in O.R. Tambo.
Oh, it's in
a local community in O.R. Tambo, yes.
Okay. Oh, I wanted to understand that. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Is there any other member or members that want to engage the presentation or to highlight some of the areas or some of the things that they think it can assist? I can see the head. Can we switch our mics? You will only open the mic if you want to speak, please. It can assist. I see the hand of Norma Kosazana and the hand of the deputy president of SALGA.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I hope I'm audible.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much for the presentation made on the strategy on GBVF. I wanted to propose, Chair, that we add the area of drugs and substance abuse to have a strategy on how we tackle this matter, because in majority of cases, crimes, including GBVF, are caused by this very rife or very serious issue of drugs in our communities. I don't know what can be the approach. I'm just throwing it so that our leadership, the Women's Caucus, both nationally and provincially, we can have an approach of dealing with it. Actually, I think it is at the stage of being declared as a pandemic. The last issue is the issue of the teenage pregnancy. It's another area that I think we as the Women's Caucus, we should engage on, maybe in particular engaging parents to understand what can be done. Because we can't keep quiet when in our country we are told that we've got 34,000 10 to 14 years old kids who fell pregnant in a year. So it's something that I think we must make also a priority in our program on dealing with this issue, because some of these pregnancies are as a result of these issues of vulnerability of women, in particular young women in our society. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I check the places, if you know them, where the issue of drug and substance abuse is high, and also the issue of teenage pregnancy? If you don't know it for now, it's fine. Then you can send something to the secretary. Then it will assist the program.
That person, I think I can ask the Department of Health stats on the teenage pregnancy, but I think social development also can assist us, including the issue of drugs and substance abuse. The most relevant department is social development. But I can interact with them to try and get information and assistance from them to give us the statistics.
Thank you so much. Deputy President.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. And one must really thank the invitation. It is talking about the matter that is very hot in all the provinces, where we have municipalities, locals, and women talking about these issues. So we as SALGA, you will remember that at the beginning of every term, we relaunch the structures. Now we've relaunched the provinces. They will be relaunching the districts, women commission structures, and multi-party caucuses. But the program is an old program, which is a continuation. So the presentation here is saying we are involved because things are happening at locals. And I want to give you assurance that we have a mandate given to locals that they must have the structures ready. I think as we were adopting the budgets at the end of this week, we said the offices of the executive mayors through the transversal issues, they are budgeting also for such. And what is nice is that most of the executive mayors are pushing women to say, push even all these male councillors to be part and do something. Now that we are requested to collaborate, we will work together. And maybe through the office, we will send the program to you, Honorable Bilankulu, so that we it is known. And if we're working together, we will really have a way of dealing with these matters.
We recently had the Gadi issue in Mpumalanga. We had a six-year-old who was killed, the womb taken for Muti, and we have a lot. We can't keep quiet. So we will definitely have a program to submit so that we all work together. I think it's better that way. And maybe the last point is that we've received from the women around Mpumalanga, we've received invitation to hold prayers from the 2nd, which was yesterday, till the 10th, visiting all the churches to speak about this evangelist of going everywhere, talking against the abuse of women and children, in fact, the GBVF. We have a challenge, though, with the LGBTQI plus issues, especially with churches, it is not yet understood. We need a way of talking about it so that churches do understand and pray over all this so that we do not leave them out, because most of them are killed. And it is something that we need to talk about. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy President. I think what we have alluded to is going to assist even the multi-party, hoping that next time when there is something, since we have this collaboration, you'll be able to invite also the National Caucus. Thank you very much. Any other hand? Any other hands that needs to engage the presentation? Dr. Tembekwai.
Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah.
Can I say something in connection with the first presentation?
Yes, I mean, the one that
we are talking about. Everything seems fine as they have explained their plan and everything, but the most important thing, it's like she said, there's a feedback, which means they are supposed to come back together to revisit, to do a SWOT analysis, the weaknesses, you know, what is it that worked and what is it that didn't work and what is it that was left off. Say, for an example, when we go out on an oversight, irrespective of the fact that we have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 issues that we are looking at, sometimes when you arrive at an oversight, you discover that even though we are looking at 3 things, but here is number 4 and 5.
Yes.
So that they are able to be flexible and not just restrict themselves to the areas as they are put down at the paper, you see. And while for example, we have got a week's oversight, but there's something different altogether, a GBV related something, but of a different direction altogether, so that they are, and together with us, we are able to engage quickly on such matters. I am really impressed by the fact that they mentioned that at the end they will have to come together and revisit the successes or the failures or the what needs to be improved in the ultimate end. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Doc. Honorable Nkomo, Honorable Ntumeleng, is there something that you want to add up or to clarify?
Madam Shonge.
Chair?
Yes.
Chair? Honorable, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation, Chair. I think I'm covered with the issues that has been raised. The only issue that I wanted to talk to, I wanted to check, because I saw through the presentation that all stakeholders will partake. But I think we also need to rope in the Department of Education, because remember, this gender, this issue of GBV affects both girl and boy children at schools at some point. So I think we must rope in the Department of Education so that we are able to deal with this matter for once and for all. The last point, Chairperson, will be, I fully support that program of that was said by the Deputy President that the women, I think it's a progressive move, especially in Mpumalanga, that they will go to different churches. But I think we must have a standing program so that we must not do a program, a different program in Mpumalanga, and when we go to other provinces. I think it will also assist other provinces so that we engage even faith-based organizations as part of the key stakeholders, so that when we go there, we reach to them. Remember, there are children that we get from schools, there are those that we get from churches. So we must target all corners. But I think I'm covered with the presentation, Chair. I think we need to work together so that we can fight this monster. That is my submission, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Nkomo. I see the hand of Norma Khosaza, and I will give you after Honorable Nkomo.
Yes, we thanks, Chair. Greetings to honorable members in the platform and also officials from the department. Chair, I don't have anything to add. I am covered by the speakers that spoke before me. But what I can just say is that I am greatly looking forward to the visit to the Eastern Cape as part of trying to address the issues of gender-based violence. So, but in a nutshell, I am covered, Chair, but nothing else to add. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Whip. Norma Khosazana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just received the stats of the Eastern Cape teenage pregnancy between July and December 2021. OR Tambo is leading. We've got more than 9,014 to 19 teenagers who felt pregnant and delivered in our facilities, and more than 310 to 14. And on both, OR Tambo is leading. But I'm asking for any contact details that I may share the stats to. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll give you the numbers to share that information. Nikita, I just see the gadget, Nikita.
Thank you, Chairperson. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you may proceed.
Yes, my name is Tamara Khanti, but I don't know why my child put her name as Nikita because it's my daughter's name. I'm from Eastern Cape Legislature. I just want to check, is it possible that we can draw other departments, like Department of, for instance, the Eastern Cape is Department of Sports, Recreation, Arts and Culture, National case, Department of Sports, I'm not sure. But can't we draw them in terms of, because the social ills that are in our communities, it is also caused by the disunity where we are staying. For instance, this department does have a program on social cohesion and nation building. You will discover the infightings that are happening in our areas, or the vandalism because of drugs, as Honorable Metz has stated, that can't we include this thing about drugs? But to draw the departments such as Department of Sport, as well as Social Development and Health, to be part and parcels of the programs. Because in our communities, you can see that there is a war, but the war is different from the war from other countries. We have a war special to other areas. People are fighting to get, they are infighting in our communities, rape, whatever social ills that are happening. Hence, I thought of this social cohesion programs, where we can create awareness
in our communities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think we will be inviting all the department. It will be good if all the department has got representative, because it's not for some department, but it's for all of us to fight this GBVF. So as a province, you need to agree also with the chairperson that when it comes to invites all that matters to the meeting. Thank you very much. I can see the hand of, I think it's the chairperson, then the Dr. Tembekwe.
Yes. Yes, it's me, chairperson. Thank you. One other critical sphere for me that we need to look at is the issue of parole boards. We need to prioritize, because if you notice this GBV, you'll find that the perpetrators are parolees. I want to advise that we can visit, see, meet with parole boards of all our correctional services, because most of our cases, they're repetitive to parolees. The second thing for me is in our province, cases are delaying because of DNA centers. As Women Caucus in the Eastern Cape, we declare a war with our premier, because we find that we don't have a center as a province. Our DNA results depend Western Cape and KZN. So our premier, when we confronted him, took it upon himself that we have our own DNA center as a province in Port Elizabeth, so that these cases of rape can speed. Because they took about 2 to 3, 4, 5 years, the cases, and the perpetrator is outside tormenting the victim. So that also the centers, we must also prioritize that. Do we have as a province, how many in a province DNA test, so that centers, so that the cases can be speeded up. Thank you. I want to raise those two items. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. I think the issue of DNA, Advocate Kambule will talk about it. Dr. Tembekwe, I see.
Yes, Chairperson, I just wonder whether the people that are invited include the traditional healers. I just want to ask, because we have a problem of the parts of the body parts being sold through them. It's the traditional healers that buys them. So we cannot neglect that fact. It's happening. How are they supposed to be engaged on these issues when doing oversight? We talk of churches. What about them? Thanks.
Thank you so much, Doc. I think, Chairperson, you are noting this, and also the Secretary of Multiparty, you are noting this. I think it will be good also if we can invite them. Thank you so much. From the department, DSD, can we get one rep to say something? DSD?
Yes, Chair. I was looking at my counterparts in Eastern Cape, but it's fine. From the National Department, we welcome the visit. It will help us a lot to strengthen the areas where we are not doing so good. And in areas that we are doing good, we'll be able to also document and have best practice models, so that when we go to other areas which do not have anything, we don't start from scratch. We already have those models that we have documented. So it's quite an exciting moment for us. We are ready to go down and support our counterparts at a provincial level. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Department of Health. Do we have a department or the MEC for health?
Chairperson, Noma Kosazana, who's been talking, is from the Department of Health, is an MEC there.
Oh, it's an MEC. Thank you.
Yes, Chair.
Department of Education, if by chance you are there. If not, Department of, which department? Except Justice, because I know Justice is there. Is there any other department in our attendance? If not, then I will call the Department of Justice. Advocate. Advocate Kambule.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the invitation. And we also, as a department, welcome the visits that will be done by the Multi-Women's Caucus, because we really need those so as to improve our services. I would like just to say just a few things that that first is, we have as the caucus has identified the visits that they will be focusing on the sexual offences courts and the domestic violence and also the maintenance divisions. I would like just to say one thing about the sexual offences courts. We started as a department to establish sexual offences courts in 2013, Chairperson. And those courts then were established in terms of the MATSO, we call it MATSO model. That is a model that gives you the specifications of the resource needs. And so now, when women marched in 2018, one of the demands that they made was that they would like to see these courts being the statutory courts, meaning that they must be the courts that are recognized by a piece of legislation so as to ensure that then they are ingrained in the system, they are going nowhere, and they are recognized by all the court personnel. So that was done, and in 2020 February, then the president promulgated what we call Section 55, Capital A. So then this provision, a chairperson, is coming up then with certain requirements that then the courts where these sexual offences courts must be established must be designated. So when the coming in then of the Section 55, Capital A, sexual offences courts, what it meant is that the 106 MATSO courts that we had established had to fall away in terms of being recognized as the sexual offences courts. So now we are not longer calling them sexual offences courts. We are calling them MATSO courts, because Section 55, Capital A, came up with a definition of offences courts, and also required then the development of the regulations for the sexual offences courts, which is something that the department delivered on in February 2020. So we have now the regulations that are giving us the specifications of the resources for the sexual offences courts, and then we also have then the requirement, the additional requirement that says that where you establish the sexual offences court, if it is a regional court,
it must be designated. So in the country, we have 9 regional courts, but in a slang way, we would say that we've got all these courts are called regional courts, whereas we've got only 9 regional courts in the country. And those regional courts are attached to the 9 regional divisions. So each and every regional division has got 1 regional court, and then that regional court will have then a number of places of sitting. So those courts that we call regional courts are legally the places of sitting. So now we are in a process of finalizing the designation process so that then the 9 regional courts where then we will be establishing the Section 55 Capital A Sexual Offences Courts are established. So what it means is that if then the caucus will be visiting our courts, you'll be visiting the Matso courts. We are saying that they are the Matso courts. And we have a provision, subsection 5, that says that then every court, including the Matso courts, can continue hearing matters of sexual offenses. So meaning that they are still continuing with their the cases of sexual offenses, but in legally, their status, they are not sexual offenses courts legally. We are calling them the Matso courts. It is all of these courts now that we are in a process of establishing them as sexual offences courts. But before they can be established, there must be a gazette that the minister will be issuing. So now we are in a process. We're working on the wording of the gazette this afternoon, Chairperson. So the minister will be issuing that gazette before the end of this month. And then we'll be having then all these courts. We are planning to establish 80 Section 55 Capital A sexual offenses courts. So meaning that we've got 2 categories now of courts. One is the Matso courts, but we're not calling them sexual offences courts because that would be against the law if you're going to call them sexual offences courts, because the law has already defined what a sexual offences court is, and they fall short of that definition. Then we have then the Section 55 Capital A sexual offences courts, the ones that we will be establishing as soon as the gazette notice has been issued. This is not to stop the members from visiting the courts that we have, because they do provide the basket of support services that one will be finding when we introduce the new breed of these courts that we are calling the Section 55 Capital A courts. So currently in the Eastern Cape, we have a Matso court. A Matso court that is in the Eastern Cape. I mean, it's in East London, and there are others that are in PE, Tsolo, Bichi, Dimbaza, Nemthatha. So those are the courts that we have in the Eastern Cape. And then now, in terms of the statistics that we are collecting, so we collected the top 10 courts, where we identify the top 10 courts of sexual offense that report the highest number of new matters that have been reported. So the Mthatha, I have just checked our statistics. So I found that in 2020, Mthatha was number 8 in our top 10. And end 2021, Mthatha was number 6. And 2021 was also number 5. Now, in terms of rape is the most serious offense. So we're also collecting statistics. We collect statistics of sexual offenses, all cases of sexual offenses, and then we extrapolate then the rape matters because they are the most serious. So Mthatha also features as number 5 end of 2021. So now coming to domestic violence, in domestic violence, the courts that have been leading in terms of a serious offending in domestic violence matters, in domestic violence, it is PE and then Zwelitsha and in Tanzania in terms of our statistics. Now, coming to the last question, Chairperson, you also asked in terms of the DNA. We have an indicator in Pillar 3 that we have given to SAPS for them, you know, to report to us in terms of their performance. So now they have we have increased that indicator, because last year we said that they must finalize the 5,000 reports that they will be sending to NPA, because it's a huge challenge, Chairperson. There's a huge delay in the finalization of these cases by SAPS, because they have only six labs in the country. So and out of those six, it's only four that are fully capacitated to provide these services. So now we have increased then their indicator, but just to say that then you know, they have not increased their centers yet. What they are planning to do is to fully capacitate the other centers that still need to be, you know, to get the same status of actually doing all the work that they are supposed to be doing. Because what is happening is that there are centers where then they have to do certain work, and then the other work then they will be transferring to the main ones. So in the indicator that we gave them last year, that was 5,000, they had an overachievement and delivered 7,618 DNA reports. So that is what I can say in terms of the DNA reports, but it is still a problem. Our courts are postponing a number of cases because of the DNA reports that are still pending with SAPS. Thank you, Chairperson. Oh, I would also like to say
the issue of parole.
Then with parole, we
your experience maybe,
because yes,
I Chairperson stated that it's like the issues or people, the perpetrators mostly is the people who are out of parole.
Yeah, so we have heard that report. I will be speaking from the information that I have in terms of the chairperson that deals with issues of sexual offences in one of the committees, and also as a Pillar 3 chairperson. But is to say that with corrections, we have heard of those complaints, and what we did then was to include in the Criminal and Related Matters Amendment Act, which is one of the three GBV Amendment Acts. We included there a provision that requires then that in all parole proceedings, the voice of the victim must be heard. The victim must be informed before the parole proceedings are heard, and also must also participate in the parole proceedings. So now, in terms of readiness, what they have done, what we have asked them to do, because it's one of the activities that we have in our readiness plan. So they are amending their national policy framework to ensure that in all those proceedings, then the victim is considered. But what the member was saying is actually something that we have also been informed about, that many of the, I don't know the number, but we've got a high number of those perpetrators that are the repeat, you know, offenders, and it will happen during the time that they are on parole. So, but I would also like to say that then there is some work that they have done. They have some kind of a policy, which then they started then to implement last year. And it is a policy then that looks into the issues of parole. And they have actually trained a number of officials there and so on. But it is something that then I think that when you visit the corrections, you will find them giving you that information because they I'm looking at this policy that they have. It is called it is the victim offender dialogue. They call it victim offender dialogue or victim offender mediation. So it is something that they have introduced and they have done actually a number of cases where they have invited then certain witnesses to come then and participate in these mediation processes and also then the issues of parole are also part of this. They have also introduced something that is called the tracing and the preparation of victims, all right, so that when parole comes, then they are able then to trace those victims and be able then to ensure that then they participate in these. So now, according to the statistics that they have given us, is that during the financial year 2020-2021, it's 1,765 victims that participated in those parole proceedings using then the new innovations that they've come up with. But then we have asked them that they incorporate that in their national policy framework for parole proceedings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Advocate. Can I check with members of the Free State just to say something? I can see your hand, Chair, but let me give this opportunity to the Free State.
Excuse me, Chairperson. May I just indicate that there is also the regional head for Eastern Cape who is with us. She joined us just after the meeting had started. Thank you, Chairperson. If there are any questions,
Regional head for Eastern Cape.
It's a regional head for Eastern Cape. He's representing the department in the region of Eastern.
Which department?
Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. So, if there are questions that are coming from the members that are focusing in Eastern Cape, she is here to respond to those questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Free State, are you still there? Maybe they've left. Okay. Chair, is your hand still up?
Yes, Chair. No, mine, Chair. I just want to check, how often do the sexual offense register is updated? I just want to check that. Because we have a case in Matatiela where a six-year-old was raped this week at school by a caretaker or something like that. And I want to check how can we see perpetrators? Because I don't think that man is the first that she has been doing this. So I want to check the register. How often do we updated so that these perpetrators can be in that register and be known by everyone, especially when it comes to job seekers?
Thank you very much. I think the regional head can also assist on this one, or the Department of Social Development. Free State, you're not there? Then can I get the regional head to say something, and maybe the advocate, and we close.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good evening to all. I think Advocate Kambula will respond as she makes her closing remarks for the department. But the register is updated in each instance where
that person has been found guilty and there is an order for the name of that person to be included in that register. Perhaps the question could have been the departments that employ those people, perhaps, like the person you are referring to, did they make those inquiries with the register to establish if this person was not in the register? Otherwise, the register is updated with each court order as it is made. Maybe Advocate Kambula will also add as she makes her closing remarks. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Advocate. Oh, there is the hand. Caesar M.
Yes, Chair, Caesar from National Office. I wanted to also add the work that we do with the Department of Correctional Services with regards to victim support services. We have identified the challenge that most of the parolees that are due for consideration, they don't attend any programs that has to do with maybe sexual offenses or therapeutic programs that are addressing sexual offenses matters. So we then said to them, if really we are to promote rehabilitation of the parolees or of the perpetrators, we need to make sure that they attended. It must be mandatory because they do have a catalog of programs that they offer as, you know, professionals from correctional service. And yet these programs are not mandatory. As a result, they do not benefit the perpetrators. We therefore engage them around there to say, everyone that is going to be considered for parolee and she has committed sexual offenses, offenses, they must make sure that they have attended that. And if they haven't, that profile must be sent back and make sure that a person attends that. So we are working with them on that and we are monitoring them. The other issue that we've also discussed with them was the fact that the victims are not easily traceable because they, for instance, the lifers, a person will serve about 20 plus minus 25 years in jail. And by the time he's due for parole, that victim is no longer there. The address has changed. They don't know where the victim is. And as a result, come the time for victim to participate, it's very difficult to really get the victims participating and they miss that opportunity. So we have raised those concerns that we need to, they need to develop a tracking system as soon as a perpetrator is sentenced so that a victim can be, you know, supported and the victim can be traced. When that moment comes, we don't struggle to identify victims and victims are able to exercise their rights. So those are some of the things that we are doing with correctional service. Chair, I also forgot to mention that in Eastern Cape, they do have a very, you know, one of the brilliant model called Kuseleka One Stop Center. We are learning from them. It's a multi-sectoral a model where all the key departments, they are under one roof and they provide various services to a victim. For instance, the therapy will be there, police will do the assessment, NPA will investigate the case, health will also provide forensic, medical forensic services. So it is in Gwanobuhle, it's one of the centers that we want to make sure that it's replicated in all the 9 provinces. At this stage, they are only in 3 provinces. There's still a backlog or a gap of 6 one-stop centers. And they also have quite a number of white, they call them green doors, I think, in Eastern Cape. Yes. Those, no, they call them white doors. In Gauteng, it's white doors. In Eastern Cape, it's green doors. Those facilities, they are quite helpful when it comes to rural areas because it is a 72-hour facility. A victim, it's easy to access it because it's in the local space and there are no, you know, prior requirements for a victim to access them. They're easily accessible. They are able to assess the victim status. Then from there, they do an assessment report and refer to a much more or bigger facility. So those are some of the shelters that or services that we have as far as the as far as their services are concerned. Lastly, Chair, one of the honourable members raised the issue of substance abuse. Indeed, the substance abuse. It contributes a lot when it comes to issues of gender-based violence. And as a country, we do have a national drug master plan. And we also have appointed, the minister has, with the, together with a cabinet or parliament, they have appointed the CDA, Central Drug Authority members. It will also be good that they participate on this visit and see exactly whether provinces or local communities, are they implementing the National Drug Master Plan? You know, how far are we in terms of it? Because it's quite a good integrated strategy. And yet when it comes to implementation, sometimes implementation is not done. It's not done adequately due to financial constraints. So it will also be good to look into that area. Thanks, Chair.
Before you leave, there is this Kuseleka One Stop Centers. You said it's now only found in three provinces, but you mentioned the one in Gauteng as the white dots, the one in the Eastern Cape as the green dots. But the third one, I don't know, maybe I didn't get you. Hear you clearly, but I didn't get the third province.
Okay, maybe let me put it this way. There are three Kuseleka one-stop centers in the country. One is in Eastern Cape, KwaNobuhle. Then the second one is in Limpopo, Capricorn district. The third one is in Northwest Vryburg. And then those ones are one-stop centers. And then other than one-stop centers, we have maybe let me call it crisis centers. They are just for a short duration. Like I said, it's 72 hours. The Kuseleka, you can stay up to 6 months based on your situation. If it warrants that, they extend your stay, they do the assessment, and then they extend. But for the crisis centers, which I was referring to, it's only for 72 hours. And they are in Gauteng, they call them green doors. And then in Eastern Cape, it's exactly the same model. It's called the white doors. White doors.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Chief. I had Mahlengwa have joined us. Mahlengwa. Is she still there?
Yes, Chairperson. I'm still there. Is there something that
you want to say, Ma?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes. Can I say something? Yebo,
Ma.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the presenters. And thank you, everyone. I think it's just a report on what is happening. Last month and last week, there is a march at Lundi going to K section, Zondekwa Zondela, where the father of two boys, the one is 12 years and the other one's 5 years, he killed them. He wanted to kill his mother and the granny. Now, yes, and the granny. Now, this man was vocabounding out in and out the location, and he said he wanted to kill them all, and then finish himself to the police station. What is frustrating me in that, all these things, this man was just came to the police station at Lundi, Magudwini, and then came up. He didn't see the magistrate, he didn't see anything. They said, the police station said, there is no evidence that this is a father who killed them. But the counselor, the ward counselor, caught him right-handed with these little ones. That is, I don't know what happened, and I just cry to the advocate, praise to look at this, what is happening about this, about the police, because we would be very happy if this man is outside because of the magistrate. He didn't say the magistrate, just turn at Emma Goodwini Uluni police station. Thank you, Ma.
Thank you very much, Mahlengwa. Advocate, there is a case at Ulundi. I think Mahlengwa will give you the whole information so that you can be able to make a follow-up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will write my cell number here on the chat so that we are able to assist. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Honorable members, it's like we have deliberated enough. I don't know if there is something burning that one say, I cannot leave this meeting without saying this. Otherwise, we have deliberated. Then we can end our meeting if there's no one who wants to say something for now. Mandy will take that the number from the advocate and give it to Mahlengwa. And whoever wants that number is there on the chat. It's like there's no one. And thank you very much, honorable members and members from different departments, meaning our plan for visiting the Eastern Cape on the 16th to the 19th of August will be fruitful. Hoping that the secretary has captured everything, some of the stakeholders that has been raised here will be invited in order to form part of our visit. And thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, everyone who participated. Let's call it a night.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good night.
Thank you.